Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big, weird, wild world out there, folks, and here we stand. Al pie del cañón, ready for anything. I'm Rob, that's the Natch, and you're listening to...
The Bravo Show!
That's right, boys and girls. Welcome, welcome to your Wednesday edition of The Probo Show. How are you doing out there? The most controversial show on Vaughan Radio. If you are of a sensitive disposition and easily offended, perhaps just go for breakfast right now. Come back a little later on. How are you doing out there, folks? Important things going on today in the universe of this particular radio station. Our very own Oracle, the man, the myth, the Natch. And Ximena Holiday will be at the quiz, the trivia night tonight, 7:30, Calle Amaniel, number 23, Real Madrid for the Vaughan trivia night at 7:30 p.m., which is a good news for you if you like football, because you can go to the trivia, then go watch the football after. It's just like perfect timing, Natch. This is why he's the Oracle, you see. He didn't even know when organizing the thing. There would be a football game at 9. But because he's in tune with the universe, there was just a little feeling, wasn't there, Natch? You were like, okay, no.
Sí. Al final voy a creer que soy an oracle.
He's like, all right, well, I'm getting a message from the ether. It has to be 7:30. So there you go, guys. Tonight, don't miss that. A lot of your favorite Vaughan presenters will be there. All right, let's see who's joining us right now in the chat. We have BTI, we have Eugene, Vero, The Bridge. How are you doing, guys? Good morning, Rob and friends, says BTI. Hi, guys, says Eugene. Morning, beautiful warriors around the universe and beyond, says Vero. Good morning, good luck to Nacho, says The Bridge. He doesn't need luck. If the quiz doesn't
thank
go,
you.
Yeah. Thank you, says Nacho.
Thank you. I need it.
You don't need it. You know, if it doesn't go well, it's probably more fault of the universe than yours. You know what I mean? That's what I believe. All right. Vero, by the way, Rob, I've just seen your video giving it all at the Motley Crue concert. Oh, my God. I haven't seen it yet. Uh-oh. Did Andrea post that? Okay.
Yes, she did. I saw it.
Oh, God. Sorry, I have my face buried in news articles all morning. So I haven't checked my friend's social media. Uh-oh. Is it embarrassing, Natch? What do you say?
No, not for me. I have worse videos on myself.
So okay, perfect. Because I thought you were saying, for me, no, for you, tons. For you, very embarrassing. But for me, no, nothing, not at all. The Bridge, I'm sensitive, but my discernment is sufficient to convince me that this is the best place to be, says The Bridge. I agree with you guys. This is the best place to be on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning, 8:30 a.m. Central European time. Let's see what we've got ahead of us today. In today's 100 humans, we ask them the most annoying things that happen when going to the cinema. The most annoying things when going to the cinema. Nombra las cosas más molestas de ir al cine. In today's Complete the News, we'll find out what 700,000 Norwegians are addicted to. Son adictas a algo, pero qué. And today's unpopular opinion, moving into the world of movies. I think this is probably the end of our trilogy on movies and cinema for this week. Or wait, for this week and a little bit of last week. More attention should be paid to writers, or should be put on writers than directors when it comes to movies. Writers, escritores, I mean, really you'd say script writer in English, which would be guionista. So go to hell, translation elf, I will beat you when the show is over. Se debería prestar más atención en los escritores, los guionistas, las guionistas. Oh, Natch. I'm on fire. Que a los directores.
Both. Oh, los guionistas and las guionistas, depending on the... And the gender of the writer.
Oh, I tapped into my little oracle side too there. Que a los directores cuando se trata de películas. All right. But all that, friends, in a little bit. First, we're going to get into some news. Wow, a lot of tech news recently. It's kind of, I'm in the weird, brilliant position of having more news than I need recently. Let's just quickly see. Carmen's with us. We all have seen the video, right? Good morning. Uh-oh. Jeez Louise. If you want to go see that video, I assume it's on Andrea's Instagram account. That's andreavaugan.es. Yeah, now I'm curious. Now through the break, I'm going to be checking it out. And Carmen, thank you very much for mentioning me on your story yesterday. Guys, go check out Carmen Gonzalez Castro on Instagram. She's a fantastic artist and working on some really amazing, provocative work right now. So do go check her out. Eugene, I didn't see it yet. Oh, my God. All right, here we go. Meta. Did you, if you're a heavy Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp user, you may have noticed an outage yesterday. I noticed on my way home, I was, you know, I was trying to see what the votes were looking like for today's unpopular opinion. And for some reason, I couldn't access my stories. It was working weird. Well, yeah, Meta has finally broken its silence. There was a global outage. Facebook and Instagram went down across the globe. Facebook y Instagram se cayeron en todo el mundo. Meta has broken its silence. Meta rompe el silencio después de que Facebook y Instagram se cayeron. Interesting stuff. I wasn't even aware this was a global problem. I assume whenever a tech issue happens, it's my crappy mobile phone. But in this occasion, it was not. Meta has responded to widespread outages affecting Facebook and Instagram, acknowledging the issue and stating that they are working to resolve it. The outages reported globally started around 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would track with about 4 p.m., 5 p.m. I was heading home about 5:30 last night, and it was down for me. Leading to speculation and concerns, especially as they coincided with Super Tuesday. You're thinking, what's Super Tuesday? Is that a special deal at McDonald's? Is Super Tuesday Domino's pizza? They're offering 2-for-1. No, believe it or not, it's a political event in the United States. You know, just saying. If you don't want to, you know, if you want fewer reality TV show stars to run in politics, perhaps stop naming things like Super Tuesday. Let's see. Super Tuesday, prompting theories of election interference. Wah, wah, wah. Meta spokesman Andy Stone announced on X, formerly Twitter, that they are aware of the access problems. The situation has attracted comments from various users and public figures, including Elon Musk, of course it did, who highlighted the operational status of his platform X. That doesn't that sound a little desperate to you, Natch?
And by the way, X, we're still working. Hello, hello, hello.
The outages have sparked a flurry of online activity with users speculating about potential cyber attacks and election tampering. Down detector maps have shown significant outage reports in major cities like Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. The incident has affected other platforms as well, including WhatsApp, Google, TikTok, and Snapchat. Yeah, it seems to be a power issue, I guess, at least. You know, I wonder with the increased power usage in the tech world, you know, if we really have the power infrastructure to cope with more and more AI releasing into the market, just consume an immense amount of power, an immense amount of water to cool the facilities. Yeah, let's see how this progresses, friends. All right. Okay. Interesting news from the world of AI while we're talking about it. There is an AI model that we here in Europe cannot use, and it's called Claude, made by a company called Anthropic. And Claude recently released Claude 3. And it is like ChatGPT, kind of like a text generator. It's a bot that you can communicate with and generate text, just like ChatGPT. You guys probably familiar with ChatGPT 3.5. If you're a paid user, ChatGPT 4. Okay, so let's get into this news from ArsTechnica.com. The AI wars heat up. Las guerras de la inteligencia artificial se calientan. But heat up in a non-sexual way. With Claude 3 claimed to have near-human abilities. Wow. Let that sink in. Las guerras de inteligencia artificial se calentan con Claude 3. O 3, perdón. Que se dice tiene habilidades casi humanas. Wow, wow. Anthropic has launched Claude 3, a new family of AI language models, which claims to set new industry benchmarks, approaching near-human capabilities in certain cognitive tasks. Claude 3 is available in three versions, Haiku, Sonnet, and Opus, with increasing levels of complexity and performance. While Sonnet is available for free, Opus, the most advanced model, requires a subscription. These models, particularly Opus, are said to outperform OpenAI's ChatGPT-4 in several benchmarks, including areas like reasoning, expert knowledge, and language fluency. This blows my mind. Friends, when was the last time you used ChatGPT? Let me tell you something. It's pretty incredible. It's like a little miracle happening in front of you whenever you use it. I use it a lot at work, helps me out with a lot of translations, kind of time I would spend writing emails. I just write some bullet points. It generates the email for me. I'm going to be frank with you. I use it quite a lot. It's probably the thing that I spend a subscription on that I think is the wisest investment in cash. So the fact that there is an AI model out there that outperforms ChatGPT-4 blows my mind. And it is, it's there. Sadly, here in Europe, we can't use it. However, despite these claims, there is no consensus among experts on the model's superiority. And the notion of near-human abilities is nuanced, emphasizing that while Opus may excel in specific tasks, it does not equate to general human intelligence. The advancements in Claude 3 highlight significant progress in AI, though real-world application and user experience of these models remain subjective and open to interpretation. Nat, are you using ChatGPT really outside of work or in your own life or here at work?
No, not really. No.
Yeah, I would. I do occasionally if I've got like bureaucratic emails to send or things like that, translations, you know. But yeah, in terms of my day-to-day kind of operation outside of the office, I don't need its help warming up frozen pizza or, you know, sleeping. You know what I did last night? I put the laundry on and then fell asleep. So I hung my clothes out damp this morning. It was, dude, I'm a disaster. 46-year-old disaster of a human being. The day that they incorporate this kind of AI, even if it's not near human intelligence, I mean, most humans don't have near human intelligence. So, you know, are we going to really criticize these chatbots? Once the Venn diagram between robotics and these AI systems, once they overlap, then things are going to get very interesting and probably very scary for humans. Let's see. Rob, I want to go to see the post. You have convinced me to check it out, says The Bridge. Yeah, check it out and tell me what you think. I haven't seen it yet. Vero says, después de que Facebook y Instagram se cayeran. Okay, thank you. Can we get a nivelazo for our one and only Vero, please?
Nivelazo.
Okay, we've got time for one more piece of news, so we'll finish off at 3. Here we go. So, yeah, Russia and China. Wow, I sounded like Donald Trump there. China. Russia and China set to build nuclear power plant on the moon as new space race explodes. Russia y China se disponen a construir una planta de energía nuclear en la luna mientras estalla la nueva carrera espacial. Russia and China are planning to establish a lunar power unit on the moon between 2033 and 2035. As announced by the head of Russia's space agency, Roscosmos, this announcement follows recent discussions between two countries on topics such as outer space security and AI weapons, highlighting their ongoing... Why is the news starting to read like a sci-fi novel? I feel like I'm reading Isaac Asimov right now. Space security and AI weapons. What? Are we living in the darkest timeline or something? Anyway, let's continue. AI weapons highlighting their ongoing cooperation in space and technology sections. The talks also covered issues related to biosecurity and artificial intelligence, aligning with their mutual interests in developing lethal autonomous weapons systems. My God. under UN-backed policies. Meanwhile, the US Space Command has expressed concerns over China's rapidly advancing military space capabilities. I mean, you know, one thing we can all look forward to is massive leaps forward in technology. That did in fact happen in the prior space race, and we can look forward to that happening again. The fact that China and Russia are at the forefront of this, you know, well, you know, pull your finger out, Europe. Pull your finger out, US. Let's get it done. Okay, let's go on to today's. Richard's coming to the studio. Let's go on to today's unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion.
All right, guys, here we go. Today's unpopular opinion. Today's brain fart. Now I can leave Natch to organize things with Richard a little bit. Today's unpopular opinion is more attention should be put on writers than directors when it comes to movies. Más se debería prestar más atención a los escritores, los guionistas, que a los directores cuando se trata de películas, when it comes to films. Okay, so here we go. I thoroughly tortured those elves this morning. Oh, thoroughly tortured them. And they provided us with some pros and cons. And we are, and I'm going to share them with you right now. Let's see. Sam's here. Says, "Hey Rob, what did I say about human goes to outer space to destroy it?" Yeah, I know. I know. Come on. Let's all take a deep breath, guys. Let's all take a deep, long, deep breath and chill. All right. Foundation of storytelling. So here we go. In the pro column, agreeing that more attention should be put on the writers and script writers, los guionistas, los escritores. Writers are the architects of the story. Without their creativity and narratives, there would be no script to direct. The foundation of any film is its story, and writers lay down its foundation through their scripts, characters, and dialogues by crafting compelling and engaging narratives. Writers set the tone and direction of the entire movie. It's true. So true. I mean, do you remember how much entertainment sucked for a while during the writer's strike? I mean, the reason that they keep on winning when they go on strike is because they are, in my opinion, scriptwriters, incredibly undervalued when it comes to not just creating movies, when it comes to creating TV shows, radio dramas, or fictional radio stories, etc. Okay, let's continue. An undervalued role. Often writers are the unsung heroes of filmmaking. They spend countless hours researching, brainstorming, and writing, yet their contributions frequently go unnoticed when the film succeeds. That's true as well. I mean, think about how many Hollywood writers can you name? Apart from the obvious, like Aaron Sorkin, you know, who name... A Hollywood writer. Unless they're a writer-director, probably you can't name many. I mean, you probably say, oh, well, you know, how about Quentin Tarantino? I mean, okay. But I would argue he's more famous for being a director than anything else. Greater recognition of writers' roles can lead to better appreciation of the craft of storytelling and ensure they receive fair compensation and acknowledgement. Think about the problems you have with cinema at the moment. I would bet mostly it's not a problem. It's not a problem of wanting more spectacle, more explosions, better cinematography. It's probably story issues, right? Maybe if we held aloft and praised good writing, perhaps that might be more encouraged. I don't know. Let's see. Creative rights and control. In the current industry structure, directors often have more control over the final product than the writers do. By shifting more attention to the importance of writers, there could be a more balanced approach to storytelling, ensuring that the original vision and message of the script are presented. Yeah. And final point here in the pro column, agreeing that, you know, more attention should be paid to writers in this. By giving more attention to writers, the industry can encourage a broader diversity of stories and voices. This can lead to more original content, moving away from the current trend of sequels, reboots, adaptations, and fostering a richer, more varied cinematic landscape. I am getting so sick of hearing that they're rebooting something. Los Inmortales, The Highlander. That's the next one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. How many times has that been rebooted? You know, how many reboot? Disney remaking their entire catalog. This was popular as an animation. Let's make a film. You know, God damn, can we just get some really proficient writers in here to tell some new stories? That's the thing, you see. Studios want quick wins. We want great stories. Original stories. And studios quite often aren't capable of giving us that, because what they want is a guaranteed success. And quite often, an original story might fall by the wayside. But friends, friends, we need to bring creativity back to Hollywood. Stop rehashing, redoing, pressing rewind and play on the same old stories, the same cinematic universes, the same intellectual property. Oh. So, that's your pros, agreeing that more attention should be put on writers than directors. Let's just take a quick look at the audience real quick. Vero here says, both professions are important for a movie's development. If the script is not good, the director will not want to put it onto the screen. True story. True story. I mean, it's really a producer's decision, eh, Vero? I mean, it depends on if you're talking about an auteur director like, I don't know, Christopher Nolan. But quite often, most of the Hollywood movies we see, a producer decides he wants to make a movie, he hires a director, a scriptwriter, and then it goes through. I mean, films by committee, you know? Films by committee, rather than the singular voice of one creative individual. Carmen here says, I would say false. A good director can do magic with any non-narrative resource that takes part in a film and turn it into a masterwork. Actually, The Shining script was rubbish. Stephen King and Kubrick made an amazing film. Yeah, Stephen King hated the original Shining. And crazy, because it became probably, I would say, the most celebrated Stephen King adaptation. Anyway, let's get into the cons, all right? Because there are quite a few cons to this, saying, no. Directors should continue to receive the significant attention that they do. Let's be honest here. Like, a director's job is to have a vision for a movie and then be a sufficiently good communicator enough to make sure that vision is carried out, not only by the scriptwriter, but by the cinematographer, the casting director. The director's job is to be a visionary. All right, let's read through some of these cons here, saying, no, directors should continue to receive the attention. Directors bringing the script to life. They translate written word into visual and auditory experiences. While the script serves as a blueprint, the director's vision influences every aspect of the film. From casting and performance to cinematography and music, this comprehensive influence justifies the significant attention directors receive. Next point, directing a film requires coordinating a vast array of elements, including actors, camera crew, set designers, and more. Directors must lead and manage this complex process, making countless decisions that impact the final product. Their leadership and problem-solving skills are critical to the film's success. When a film goes badly, how often is a writer blamed? I would say almost never. The blame always falls on the shoulders of the director. Isn't it fair that they also, on the flip side, receive most of the praise when the film comes out as enjoyable? Two more points. Accountability. Directors are often held accountable for a film's success or failure, both by the public and by those within the industry. This level of responsibility justifies the attention they receive, as their director decisions significantly impact the film's final quality and reception. Final point here in the con column. Directors often leave personal artistic signature on their film, which can become a significant part of their appeal. Fans of cinema frequently follow films by particular directors because of this unique style or perspective, much like following a favorite author. What do you think, Natch? Where do you land on this one? True, false?
True. The writers deserve more attention.
Do you think Instagram agreed with you?
Yes.
They did agree with you, sir. 72% said yes, writers should get more attention than directors. But you know, it's not about my opinion. It's not about Natch's opinion here. It's not even about Instagram's opinion. It's about yours. You guys joining us in the live audience, twitch.tv/professionalbohemian. I will post the poll in the chat. And you, my friends, will tell me, should writers get more attention than directors when it comes to movies? All right, see, I see all your comments in the chat. We'll get to those after the break and the results of today's poll. Guys, oh my God. So many things we could be doing on this beautiful, beautiful hump day morning. But instead of doing those things, friends, you took the time to spend some time with me and the Natch, and it means the world. We'll see you in a few minutes. Hey guys, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/professionalbohemian. There you'll find VODs of the episodes as they are recorded live, blogs, vlogs, and behind-the-scenes content. If you'd like to watch the show live, you can do so on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, and you can participate in the polls we use in the show on Instagram @professionalbohemian or Twitter @probo, P-R-O-B-O-H. Okay, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. How are you doing out there, friends? We're talking about, we've been talking about everything from movies to artificial intelligence to the moon. Let me catch you up if you've just tuned in. It's currently 9 a.m. Central European time and you're listening to The Probo Show. All right, let's see what you've missed. In today's show, we spoke about Meta. Meta services, Facebook and Instagram, went down across the globe. The down detector maps showed that the problem probably originated in the area of Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, Seattle, but it affected all sorts of services like WhatsApp, Google, TikTok, Snapchat. Yeah, so if you noticed a little inconvenience using your social media yesterday, that was why. We learned a little bit about Claude 3 by Anthropic. Considered a little better than ChatGPT, OpenAI's ChatGPT, which blows my mind because ChatGPT 4 is absolutely amazing. And then we moved on to Russia and China in the new space race. They're planning to build a nuclear power plant on the moon. And then we moved into today's unpopular opinion, finishing our trilogy where it comes to movies and entertainment, movies in comparison to entertainment, perhaps identifying some problems we see with the movie and cinema industry. You still have a second or two to vote. Very swayed in one direction today, the vote. But you still have enough time if you want to voice your opinion on that one. We went through the pros and cons. As I mentioned before the break, 72% of people on Instagram agreed true that, yeah, that writers, guionistas, should get more attention than directors when it comes to movies. Let's see some comments I received. I did actually receive quite a few on Instagram. I send Andrea a message. She knows I'm on the radio. She sends me voice messages back. It's incredible. All right, let's go. On Instagram, Lena, honestly, without a solid story, what do you even have? Writers lay down the groundwork for everything in a movie. I mean, there is a lot of truth to that, Lena. I would agree to a certain extent. But you know, that is just one initial foundation. Like, who built your house? The people who laid down the foundation, or the people that put up the walls, put in the windows, put on the roof, painted the walls, bought the sofas? Because that's the director. Do you know what I mean? Let's see. Derek says, well, I get where you're coming from, but remember, a movie's worth is in its show, not just the tell. Directors translate words into visuals. Thank you, Derek. True story. La Chica de la Segunda Fila said, both are essential, but without a good, strong script, even the most talented director may struggle to create a compelling final product. Besides that, longevity of impact is another reason, as a well-written script can ensure long after its initial release. It's true. It's true. Like, we still talk about Orson Welles. We still talk about often classic movies That have survived and lived into the future have maintained a certain resistance to time because of a timeless script. So it's an interesting point there. I've said this before. Today's film industry needs good stories. This is from Nessa Vanessa. Good stories and great actors and actresses to tell those stories. It's a collaborative effort. So maybe the question here is not that writers deserve more attention, but just that directors perhaps deserve a little less. But then at the end of the day, who's responsible? Who's quién es el que manda o ella que manda? Who's the person who takes responsibility? Surely it's the leader of the project. And I would say that is the director or the producer. Perhaps producers should get more recognition, should have to deal with more of the failures. Because quite often the decisions we don't like in movies, implanting certain stereotypical characters or changing scripts or changing edits at the last minute, usually those are studio decisions, not directorial ones. So perhaps it's producers here that should take more credit or more culpability for the failures. Let's see. Tina says, I respect writers, but films are a director's medium. It's their unique vision that shapes the final piece. Thank you, Tina. Raj reaching out again. Both roles are vital, but think about your favorite movies. What stayed with you? The plot and the dialogue, right? That's a writer's magic. It's true. When you see that a script, there's no character development in this film. Scriptwriter. You know, it's a scriptwriter. Oh, I didn't like the story. The ending was bad. All writer's decisions. But then a director needs to have the authority to be able to say, look, I don't like your script. Change this, this, and this. So is it ultimately the director calling the shots and the one who whose creative vision should be criticized? Interesting stuff. Let's see what people were saying here in the live audience. Rafelka said, I would rather be a writer than director and have to deal with actors. Yeah, true story. Me too. Like, I used to work in theater, and let me tell you something, there's nothing worse than actors. am I gonna get death threats from actors now, Natch? Is that what's gonna happen? I love you, actors. I love everyone equally. All right, let's continue. Sam, all the areas in a movie are important. Imagine each team deciding by themselves what to do. It would be impossible to handle. It's true. And a director is kind of the orchestrator of that mess. He kind of turns all that chaos, keeps everyone focused in one direction. He is the voice that should be heard the loudest, I believe. Carmen couldn't see the poll. That's sad. In case it's not clear, Ximena and Nacho will be at 23 Amaniel Street at 7:30 today, says Vero. Thank you, Vero. All right. I'm starting to think Vero might be your agent, Nacho. I think Vero, you know, she's doing good work for you here. All right, so I asked you what you thought. I posted a poll in the chat. More attention should be put on writers and directors when it comes to movies. You guys said 100% false. Woo! Quite the disagreement there between between the live audience and Instagram. Look, I've never been a director. I've never directed anything before, but I have been a writer. Mainly for the theater, quite a lot of radio and TV stuff too, but mainly for the theater, and probably just as much radio actually as I have theater. And I understand the importance of a good script. It's vitally important, but at the end of the day, it's the director that calls the shots. And if he doesn't like your script, he's the one who calls for script adjustments, or should be, ideally, rather than the producer. As a writer, you can always feel free to step back from a project if you don't agree with those decisions. But ultimately, it's the director that calls the shots. He's the one whose reputation, or she's the one whose reputation is on the line, right? So if they receive the lion's share, the majority of the criticism, isn't it fair that they receive the majority of the praise as well? The end of the day, a script may land on a producer's desk, and a producer might like it and might want to make that movie. But at the end of the day, it's the director who makes it. He turns words into a page, into a moving painting. I mean, that's the ideal. That is the magic of cinema, as we call it, the magic, right? Cameron says, good luck, Nacho. Have fun. Are you going to go tonight, Cameron? We met Cameron last week, Nacho. You weren't there. You weren't there. Let's see. So you think that the writer too deserves most of the credit, right, Nacho?
Well, I don't know the majority, but definitely more than it does.
More than they do. Mm-hmm. There I would agree wholeheartedly, right? There are so few famous scriptwriters, you know? That dialogue you love from a movie, quite often it's not improvised. There are a few isolated occurrences where an actor's improvised something, it's become a classic line. 9 times out of 10, that line was put on a page by someone. Those characters molded by a writer before an actor breathes life into them. The story, the plot, all your favorite movies were in a script before they were ever a visual. And that script communicated promise enough to a producer to make that movie. One thing I can say for sure, does a writer deserve more credit than a director? As a writer myself, I would probably say no. Do they deserve more credit than they get? There, I would say a wholehearted yes. All right, friends. But you know what Grandpa Bo would say about that, right? He would say, Rob, that's just your opinion. An opinion, their opinions are like buttholes. Everyone has one. They all stink. Let's move on to today's 100 humans. Oh, my God. It was a long walk to work today across snow-capped mountains and through river valleys. And on that walk, I encountered 100 humans and I asked them all a question. Today's question was, name the most annoying thing when you go to the cinema. Name the most annoying thing when you go to the cinema. I asked them that question. They gave me their answers. I'm in possession of the top 7 answers right here. Your job in the chat is to identify those top 7 answers. So simple. All right. Firstly, a big thank you to... my God, I can't open my... here we go. Pedro from Instagram, Mushki, Materia Oscura, Adam, Rafelka, Nessa Finessa, Pilar, Gemma Ricino, Raz, aka Rosa, Vero, Ravdos, MC Villa, La Chica de la Segunda Fila, Ana Casan, Carmen, and everyone else for participating on Instagram. As always, we turn our attention first to the Oracle. Natch, what is the most annoying thing when you go to the cinema?
People talking.
People talking. Did anyone initially say that? No. Well, kind of. Eugene says other people. Flat. Is people talking there? Yes, it is. Well done, Natch. Well done. Good job. Cell phone. Ooh, did I just... God. I just gave one away. Gemma Ricino said cell phones. The second most popular answer. Well done. On Instagram. There's some great ones. So other people making funny noises during the film, says Carmen. That was a good one. Along the same lines as people talking. Natch, that was the number one answer. Well done, sir. All right, and phone use number 2 answer. You guys are going to fly through this one. Let's see what people are saying in the audience. Other people, says Eugene. Good answer. Eugene also says the ticket price, el precio, the cost of going to the cinema. Is price there? Yes, it is. Well done. MC Via also said price. Great answer. Ticket prices, says Ravdos, and the price of the food. Like, I'm the kind of guy, when I go to the cinema, I enjoy the ritual. I want to get my Coca-Cola. I want to get my big box of popcorn. Dude, right now, yeah, it's just so, so very expensive to go. But I do love the ritual of the cinema, and I do love the communal experience of watching a movie together. So what are you going to do? Still probably the cheapest night out that there is, right? Unless you're going to sit in a park and drink a bottle of beer. All right, so there you go. We have price, 7th most popular answer. Well done. All right, you've identified 3 of the 4, my friends. Sam says cold. The cold. The air conditioning is on too high. Cold. You know what? A lot of people actually said this. I thought I was kind of alone in this one, that I hated the cold air blowing in. Strong air conditioning, says La Chica de la Segunda Fila, and people commenting on the film out loud. So is air conditioning, is the cold there? No, it's not. It's not there. High volume. The high volume. I assume you mean high volume of the film. I'm not sure anyone else said that in the in Instagram. Adam says there is no policy for the people who use their phone or ruin the movie in general. Cell phone, says Nessa Vanessa. But no one here saying high volume. Is it in the 100 Humans? No, it's not. High volume, good answer. Good answer. But not there. All right, let's see. Kicks in the back of the chair, says the bridge. I don't know where you guys are going to the cinema. But you're getting kicked in the back of the chair. Don't go to see kids' movies. If an adult's kicking you in the back of the chair, you've got a problem. Is kicks in the back of the chair there? No, it's not. Rav Dossier says, when the screen of your film is on the farthest side of the theatre. I hate that. When you have to sit really close to the front or on the edges, and you have to see the film a weird trapezoidal shape. I hate that. I hate it. It's the worst. Let's see, anyone else? All the ads. All the adverts, continues Ravdos. All the darn ads, trailers, etc. Well past the start time of the movie. Yeah. They say the movie is going to start at a specific time. So you have to sit there and watch the adverts. We can see you, cinema. We see your game. Go home, you're drunk. Let's see. I agree with Eugene. People, just people. The bridge also says I love Eugene's answer. Sam here says people making noises while eating. People making noises while eating. Is eating loudly there? Yes, it is. Well done. Yes, it is. Well done. You're killing it. The movie says. The movie is the problem, says Eugene. Snoring, cues, none of those are there, guys. None of those are there. Wah, wah, wah. Vero here says, the heads of the rows in front of you. The heads of the rows in front of you. On Instagram, I see here tall people in front of you. Is tall people there? Yes, it is. Well done, tall people. Can we put in their hats as well? Like, if you go into the cinema, don't wear a hat that, you know, is like a bowl of fruit, you know, with feathers in it and stuff. Like, is it unnecessary? Is it an unnecessary way to annoy people? Don't wear a hat, man. All right. Okay. There are 2 more left. There are 2 more answers left. I feel like I might have to give you guys a clue. I'm just checking here to see if anyone on Instagram said this. Yeah, no one actually said this. A great answer I see here on Instagram that's not there is the length of the films. It's true. Why are movies so long nowadays? Why are movies so long? Pedro here says, sitting so too close to a stranger in the dark. All right. None of those are there. Let's give you a clue, right? The high volume is not there either. That was an answer from Carmen. When the screen is smaller than you expected, great answer, not there. Don't discriminate against tall people, please, says Carmen. Tall people should pay an extra price, says Eugene. Jeez Louise. All right. Uncomfortable seats. Good answer. Not there. Okay. There are two things that people do, going back to Eugene's answer, that annoys us. You know, why would you, when the movie have started, have to stand up, you know? What are other people doing that will spoiling your relaxation and enjoying of the movie? More common in Spain than anywhere else, Natch. What am I talking about?
People coming late.
People arriving late. Well done, it's there. Llegar tarde, obviously, is there. 7 of 100 humans said that one. It's in fifth place. There's one more. Sam here says kissing. He also says meterse mano. You know what we would say? We would say public display of affection. Muestras públicas de afecto, right? You know? Is that there, though? Yes, it is. It's a final answer. Well done. You killed it today, and congratulations for the awesome answers on Instagram, too. Let's go through the list. I asked 100 humans to name the most annoying things when going to the cinema. In position number
7,
we had the price, el precio. In position number
6,
we had public displays of affection, muestras públicas de afecto. In position number
5,
arriving late, llegando tarde, or llegar tarde. Come on, what are you doing, guys? The whole row has to stand up as you awkwardly squeeze past their legs while they're clutching onto their popcorn so it doesn't spill all over the floor. What are you doing? Go home, you're drunk. In position number
4,
eating loudly. I've been told I'm a loud eater, Natch. I don't know, is there a silent way to eat potato chips? I mean, they are noisy in their very nature. Eating loudly is there, though. Fourth place with 8 of 100 humans saying eating loudly is one of the most annoying things about the cinema. In position number
3,
tall people. Tall people, 10 of 100 humans said that one. In position number
2,
we had phone use. Oh, it's the worst nowadays. Put the glare from your next door neighbor's phone in your face as they have to post an update of every 5 minutes of the movie. Come on. Come on, dude. Go home, you're drunk. And finally, in position number
1,
talking. Talking is the worst. Well done, Natch. Natch, are you the kind of person who will tell someone to shut up in the cinema?
I have my wife for that.
Oh, okay. Okay, because there has to be one member of the partnership that will do that. I am that person. I'm worried that if I leave Izzy to do that, that, you know, she's gonna freak out. Izzy is a tougher person than I am. I'm a softie. If she's listening to this right now, she's freaking out going, it's a lie. Anyway, there you go. That's today's 100 humans. Let's see. Now you're discriminating against lovers, says Carmen. I'm a Democrat. Give them all equality. Okay, on that note, let's go to complete the news.
Complete the news!
Rafelka saying, yes, I hate other tall people. Oh, I'm short. We're about the same height, right, Nance, you and I? I think so. I don't know, are we considered tall by Spanish standards?
No.
No, right? Yeah. I would love to be taller. It would be nice to say I'm 6 foot, like 2 inches too small. All right, today's Complete the News. This is an easy section. For all of you, the many people watching the show live right now, this is your moment, my friends. A lot of people say, sometimes I'm too nervous to participate in the chat. Well, this is your time. All you have to write is A, B, or C. I'm going to give you a news headline, but leave out some important information. Your job is to complete the news with the three options I give you. Here we go. In Norway, 700,000 people, 700 mil personas, or miles de personas. How would you say that, Nach?
700 mil personas.
Oh, dude, I had it right the first time, then I went and spoiled it. In Norway, 700 mil personas, 700,000 people are addicted to blank. En Noruega, 700 mil personas son adictas a blank. Is it A, Pokemon? I don't know, if they're eating them, I don't know. Is it B, nasal sprays? I don't know how you say this in Spanish. Is it aerosoles nasales or what, how do you say that?
Yes, aerosoles nasales or sprays nasales.
Oh, all right, I'm confused because there's a distinct lack. Oh, there it is. Vaya nivelazo. Sorry, I thought the button was broken. Maybe it's sticking a little bit. Or is it C, eye drops, gotas para los ojos? In Norway, 700,000 people are addicted to blank. Is it A, Pokemon, B, nasal spray, or C, eye drops? Pokemon, aerosoles nasales, I'll never pronounce that right, or C, gotas para los ojos? A, B, or C? Okay, the chat has made a definitive decision. What do you think it is, Natch?
B.
You think B too? Okay. Well, the chat overwhelmingly are saying B. Natch also says B. Let's see. Do I win this one? Let's find out. Okay. In Norway, 700,000 people are addicted to the answer is B, nasal spray. Dude, am I the only person seemingly that didn't know this? Is this like new information? How did you guys know that? Hey, Natch, how did you know that?
I don't know.
Was it a guess?
Sí, yo descartado Pokémon and between the other two.
I find your lack of appreciation for Pokémon disturbing. Yeah, it's right. In Norway, a surprising health crisis has emerged with 700,000 people becoming addicted to over-the-counter nasal sprays, typically used for relieving nasal congestion. The Norwegian Institute of Public Health has noted a 36% increase in nasal spray sales between 2018 and 2022. There you go, friends. Aerosoles nasales are addictive. Be careful out there. Be careful out there. All right, guys, don't forget tonight, Natch and Ximena will be at Real Madrid for tonight's trivia night. I'll be back here again tomorrow. Guys, thank you so much. So many things you could have been doing this morning. Instead of doing those things, you took the time to spend some time with me, and it means the world. See you next time.